This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. I am so excited that I have a great friend here with me today, as well as she's my neighbor, but she's very involved in Love Life. And if none of you know about it, and I hope all of you do because it is nationwide,
mm-hmm.
that these ladies and gentlemen go to abortion clinics
mm-hmm.
and counsel, love on people, but educate
mm-hmm.
people on what is going on in these clinics. What got you involved in this?
Well, Carol, what got me involved in this sidewalk counseling was probably about 9 years ago. My pastor had asked me if I would give my testimony to the women's ministry, and so I had never really spoke about abortion, and I am post-abortive, and so it was the first time I ever really talked about abortion, and that I had had an abortion, and I gave my whole testimony, and it was so hard. But shortly after that, my pastor had a dream, and the Lord showed her that she was to take me to his nesting place, that she was familiar with this home called his nesting place, and they help girls that are they try to rescue them from the abortion clinic so they don't go inside the abortion clinic, and they had been open for over 35 years at that time.
Oh my gosh.
And they had been able to rescue a lot of moms. So I met the pastors there, Pastors Al and Judy Howard, and my pastor says she has a testimony she'd like to share with you. So I shared with them, and they said, "Wow, you have something to offer in helping these moms not abort their babies." But I couldn't really see it, but they were telling me that. And so I put myself through their training. They had a training, like a seminar for one day. And so I was really interested. And I knew that because of my abortions, that I had 4 abortions. And they were during a time when my first marriage was so, so bad that I felt at that time that there was no other hope. I had to do this. I was fed a lie that it wasn't a baby, that it was nothing. It was like nothing.
That's still the same lie they tell people today.
Still tell them today. And so when I had my first abortion, I suppressed it as if it never happened. So I just thought, well, I got through it the first time. Do it a second time. And so after the 4th time, my life didn't get better. I was completely lost my mind for 7 years. I became addicted to drugs. I became so lost. I was in a dark, dark place. I was suicidal. I was depressed. I was just so lost. I couldn't really be a mother to my children, that my older children that I had, because I had so much hate inside of myself. Mm-hmm. Because I tell the girls that are going for an abortion, I tell them that, you know what? When you go through an abortion, you might be sedated, but something happens to your soul and your spirit. It's a violent act. It's a violent procedure that they're doing to you while you're under sedation, and it affects you. And so that's what happened with me. So shortly after that, I got the training, and I started going out to the abortion clinics. And because of my testimony, I was able to share the truth of abortion and what abortion does. I educated myself as much as I could. I watched videos, and I tried to learn as much as I could, because there's so much going on now with abortion, the abortion pill, the day after. So I needed to train myself so I knew what I was talking about. And so through that, we've been able to rescue quite a few babies. And so I pray all the time, and I ask the Lord. My days that I go are Friday mornings, so I pray in the night before, and I ask God, God, if you want me to go, if this is your will for me, I pray that you wake me up before the alarm clock. And he never fails. He wakes me up before the alarm clock. So I'm like, okay, God, you want me to be there. It is a hard ministry. We try to share as much. We pour so much into these girls. We only have so many seconds. It's like literally seconds from the time they get out of the car to the time they go in the abortion clinic. And if you look at the website for the abortion clinic, they say don't listen to the protesters. So they tell these girls, when you come, just walk in real fast. Don't listen to them. So we have to really try to think quick. We try to give them, I love Love Life's ministry because they have three important points, and that's talking about God, connecting the mom with a baby, that is a baby. At 5 weeks, the baby has 10 fingers, 10 toes, yeah. Has a beating heart, and then we tell them about the resources. Without the resources, we have nothing to offer them. So we try to give them as much as we can and letting them know we're not there just for that day, but we want to be there for as long as they need us. We want to be there for them. And so it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to be out there. You know, sometimes people are very, very angry. Maybe they're post-abortive and they're angry because we're there. But we try to give them the love of God and tell them about, you know, that the Lord loves them, the Lord cares about them. We read the scriptures to them. And we just try to give it everything that we have to give.
You know, I think that's one for so long is that that baby is a mm-hmm. blood clot. It's nothing.
Right.
And to hear the truth is something that each one of them need to know before mm-hmm. they get in there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to hear that in the clinic by any means.
They're not going to hear that.
And one of the things that always amazes me is that how you fight so hard when you want a child
mm-hmm.
to keep that child. Mm-hmm. I've lost four through miscarriage.
I didn't know that.
And, you know, you do everything in your power. If that baby is born at 22 weeks, you'd spend every penny you had
mm-hmm.
for that child to live.
Mm-hmm.
And here are these people who are discarding that.
Mm-hmm.
It never fails to absolutely. The other thing that I think is really important is that so many of these young girls don't realize what has happened to them,
mm-hmm.
Not only to their bodies, but to their souls,
mm-hmm.
to their spirits,
mm-hmm.
until they have a child,
mm-hmm.
until they give birth to
That's true.
That they loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then they suffer so much, like you were saying, so much hatred, so much disgust, so much regret, that's an important place, too, for healing.
Mm-hmm.
But we're an uneducated segment of society. You know, women have never been encouraged and promoted and given any credit for raising a child.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been, well, you know, you're still in school. Get rid of it. Well, mm-hmm. you know, you've got too much of your life ahead of you. Get rid of it. Or you're too young. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easy way out.
Mm-hmm.
And God says that every child, he knows every child before it was even conceived. So it's very difficult for those of us who believe
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
to the mindset.
And you know, Carol, in your two points are really good. In my circumstance, and I relate to a lot of the girls that go there for abortions, you know, is that if it's legal, they must think there's nothing wrong with it. And sometimes if they're going through circumstances that are so mm-hmm. hard, whether it be a bad relationship or pressure from the mom and dad. I know a friend of mine, actually she's a relative of my husband, and the husband died, and they were pastors.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to go see the wife, she was telling me, you know, Liz, my daughter had an abortion. And she felt that she had to have an abortion because she didn't want to let her parents down because they were pastors and she wasn't married and she was afraid that she was going to disappoint them. So she went and had an abortion. And before he died, he was on his hospital bed and he kept waving to a little girl.
Oh.
He said, come here, do you see me? Come here. And he goes, do you guys see that little girl? And they really believed that he saw her daughter. And so we have girls that do that. We have, I mean, if abortion's not spoken about in the church, if it's not spoken about in the home, trust me, it's being taught at in the schools.
Absolutely.
Because
it's just an alternative,
right?
Conceptual.
They win the confidence of these children because they're children in school, and we're trusting the schools, the public schools, when we send our kids to schools, that they're being taught, but they're being taught the sex education that's so opposite of what the Bible says about, what God says about men and women and children. And so they win them on this confidence. If you on birth control, and we know that birth control is not 100% effective. I recently went to a conference. It was a banquet where an abortionist spoke, and her name was Carol Everett. She spoke. She was an actual abortionist. And she shared with us that she had did over 35,000 abortions. She was a Christian. She went to a church. She tithed her whole check. Her whole thing was that she wanted to be a millionaire. And she figured, well, you know what? This is what I do. I'm a gynecologist. These girls want to give abortions. I'm going to do it. But her eyes weren't open.
And it's a very lucrative profession right now.
Right. And so she said that, and and I've always asked the Lord, I said, Lord, reveal the truth of what's happening in there. You know, expose all the darkness. I've been asking the Lord to do that for a long time. And everything she said confirmed what I had already knew, but I heard it from an abortionist. She said that they lie about the girls being pregnant. They lie. The girls, she goes, what they do is they go into the schools, they teach them about birth control, knowing that birth control is not going to work, knowing that if they don't take the birth control at a certain time every day, which children, young people don't, right?
Right.
So they know they're going to get pregnant. They bank on them getting pregnant. So they tell them, if you think you're pregnant, call us. So they call them on this phone without even an exam or a test. They call them and they say, yes, you're pregnant and we can take care of it. You don't have to tell anybody. She said they were doing abortions on girls that weren't even pregnant.
Oh.
Because it was all about the money. She was so caught up in this lifestyle. And she said one day somebody came in because she bought an actual practice, a hospital where they were doing abortions. She went into like a corporation with three other abortionists, and there were conflict and fighting. And so they brought in somebody to try to calm everything down. And this person was interviewing her, and she said the next day she thought, you know what? He asked me so many questions. Tomorrow I'm going to ask him questions. She goes, why did he ask me so many questions? She didn't know. So the second day when he came in, she goes, you asked me so many questions, so today I want to ask you questions. And he said, okay. She goes, where do you work? He said, I'm a pastor.
Ooh.
And so he...
Thank the Lord just opened that door.
He opened that door. And so she said he told her, you know, what you're doing is wrong. She goes, how can it be wrong? I'm a Christian. I'm tithing my check. He said, you can't be doing that. You're killing babies. So she still didn't get it. He prayed for her. She repeated the sinner's prayer. And the next day she went to work thinking, oh, this guy's crazy. But for the first time ever, she walked into the abortion clinic. For the first time ever, she heard girls crying in the lobby. And she said, it's like God opened her eyes and her ears. And she said, why are you crying? And one of the girls said, my mom's going to kill me when she finds out I'm pregnant. She goes, no, your mother's not going to kill you. I'll go talk to her. Do you want me to talk to her? And they said, yes. That day she saved three babies. And she realized, that's when her eyes were open, and she realized that what she was doing wrong.
You know, the medical profession, I'm an RN.
Right.
The medical profession, you get very callous. Mm-hmm. Because you do things over and over and over and over and over again.
Right.
And if, in fact, the abortionist has the concept that this, in fact, is
mm-hmm.
a
procedure,
and that the child really isn't a child at this point,
mm-hmm.
I can see where they would get hard-hearted. However, the procedure itself, the results of the procedures, I don't think can be denied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you go in and you take the morning after pill, or you take the one that you can take up to 4 weeks or whatever. But like you were saying, you know, at 5 weeks you hear a heartbeat. At five
mm-hmm.
weeks, 10 fingers, 10 toes. And if anybody has seen
mm-hmm.
What the results of
mm-hmm.
a later term or even a second trimester abortion are, it's very hard to understand how their eyes could be closed. But you know, Hasatan can do horrible things to
mm-hmm.
us. He can make us callous. He can make us not understand, not comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
He can do all of these things, whereas we kind of validate the fact, well, that must be okay.
Mm-hmm. They use a lot
yes.
is, and we hear it a lot, is what about rape? What about rape? What about incest? You know, like that baby should not have no right to live. And we tell them, you know, but the baby didn't do anything wrong.
Wow.
What did
right.
the baby do to deserve that? You know, the baby didn't do anything wrong. I personally know women, mighty women of God, that were either adopted or one girl who is sexually raped by her stepfather and got pregnant. And she was my mentor. You know, if you can imagine that, how God brought healing through that.
Oh, yeah.
And healing in recognizing that her daughter, who they made her say was her sister, was really her daughter. You know, how God brought inner healing in that, you know, is just, it's all God. How God can turn everything around. But you know what? Science is proving now what God's word already says is truth about a baby. You know, how he God put it together. Like, science is proving it.
Yes.
Before, we didn't have that. When I had my abortions, we didn't have computers, so we didn't have that. But now we do. God is allowing all this to happen, but he's looking at us like, what are you going to do with it? Like, we have to speak about it in our churches. We have to teach the next generation. We have to educate them. When I came out about my abortions, I had so much shame. I didn't speak about it. For years, I would go to the doctors and they'd have you fill out a form, mm-hmm. how many births, how many live births, how many abortions. I never put on there how many abortions. So the shame was really deep, and the regret was really deep. And when I went in for through the series of inner healing, I heard Satan's voice. I heard his voice. He said, shame has been your protection. And I said, no, not no more.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of prayer, people praying for me to step out in boldness, to be able to speak about my abortions. It didn't come easy. You know, there is sometimes backlash, you know, people talking about you, saying things. But I'm beyond that. I'm all about saving lives. I know that by speaking about it, and even to my little nieces, I remember they came down one time, and they were little, probably young teenagers, and I was talking about abortion. And that I had had an abortion, and it, you know, and don't ever have an abortion. And I shared my testimony with them, and they, one of my nieces got pregnant as she wasn't married, and when I talked to her afterwards, I didn't even know that. But when I talked to her afterwards, I didn't know this part. She said, "Thea, when I got pregnant, I didn't know what to do. I was scared. I didn't know how to tell my mom and my dad and my grandma. But I remember you saying that children are a blessing from the Lord. And I knew I couldn't have an abortion, Thea. I just knew I couldn't do it." So I thank the Lord for that, you know.
Sometimes he can take what we have gone through mm-hmm. to be able to minister to others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's an old saying, you know, if you haven't walked a mile in my moccasins, you don't understand.
Right.
And I think that sometimes God uses untoward circumstances, mm-hmm. like your abortions, to be able to minister, because you do have these girls' feet. I really do.
Some of these girls are going through they're being pressured. They're, I know Pastor Jack Hibbs, you know, is an amazing man of God. Amazing. God is using him mightily. And to hear his testimony, how he's a product of a failed abortion, you know, I think, wow, you know, God wants to use all these babies,
yes.
and we're aborting these babies before they fulfill what God has called them to do. And I believe that they say that when we come out to the abortion clinics, it's been known that the numbers are down of abortions. So praise God for that.
Amen.
You know, we bring the gospel. We bring we're called to go out into the world and preach the gospel.
Absolutely.
You know, even at the enemy's camp.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I just finished teaching a series on, do you know who I am, mm-hmm. who God is? And God is the Father that we wish we all had, you know, who looks at our mistakes and says, it's okay.
Well,
it's okay.
Awesome, huh?
You know, I never sent you away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you did that. And it's that, like you were saying, it's HaSatan whispering in our ear. And if he can bring about guilt, which he does, then we become our own worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And for these girls to know that there's people out there who love them even in the midst of their situation, mm-hmm. and not only just love them at the present time, but as you were saying, and we're going to continue in the next segment, that you provide a means for them
mm-hmm.
to be healed spiritually, emotionally, mm-hmm. as well as physically, and to get back on the right track where there is not that terrible umbrella of guilt and shame
mm-hmm.
that lies over them.
Mm-hmm.
So many churches today, and you mentioned this as well, so many churches today, if you do say something about it, then the kids know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the things that they're teaching kids in school today, as young as kindergartners, should never, ever, ever, ever be allowed. We have a great-granddaughter who's a kindergartner, and I always walk her home from school, and I'm always asking because I am so concerned about what they're teaching in school, and all of it is evil. You know, my last year she was 5 years old. There is no reason on God's green earth that she needs to know anything about sex. Boys are icky, uggy. You know, they got the creepy crawlies. That's what she should know. And you know, I'm asking her, did you have a visitor come to your room today? And did they talk about something? You know, she goes to something called the Be Kind Club. And I said, what did you do in the Be Kind Club today? Because all of these things could be, I'm not saying in her school they are, but they could be entrances for our kids to learn things that they should never be learning at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, you know. But we've got parents out there that either think that the school has their children's best interest at heart, which is a lie from the pit of hell, or they think, well, my kid already knows. Well, like I tell my grandson, you know, to a 5-year-old, to a 6-year-old, to a 7-year-old, teachers walk on water. And parents don't have the slightest idea to come in out of the rain. But we've got to be proactive. Because all of this starts with what they're getting taught as young children. You know, if they thought that there's nothing in this world, and I used to tell my kids, there's nothing in this world that you could ever do that would make me...
That's good.
Now, I may not like you at the moment, you know, but I will never love you less. Education needs to start in the home. That it doesn't matter what these kids are going through, they are still loved and accepted. So then maybe we would kind of cut this off a little bit ahead of time before our 16-year-olds, our 15-year-olds, our 13-year-olds are going to the drugstore and buying the morning after pill. Without a prescription.
They can go right now, they can go to their school office and tell their counselor that they think they're pregnant and they're scared. They don't want to tell their parents. And through those telehealth, they can call the abortion clinic and they can send them the abortion pill or the day after. Or they can call them an Uber. And an Uber will take them. If they're 12 years old, the Uber will take them.
12.
Take them to the abortion clinic, have an abortion while they're in school without the parents' consent, and bring that student back to the school, and you think your daughter or your granddaughter had a period. And they win the trust of these kids and make them feel like this is our secret, and the kids are so full of shame that they will never tell them.
And what 12-year-old child has enough brains to come in out of the rain?
Right. But not only that, Carol, you don't even know where that child got pregnant. Where
no.
did she get pregnant? What if she got pregnant from a neighbor? I mean, you don't know. Was she abused?
Was she raped?
Was she raped?
Abused?
We
was
don't
it
know.
A family member?
We
was
don't
it?
Know.
And what's that going to do psychologically to these kids as they grow up?
Well, then you wonder why some of these kids are so messed up on drugs. They're on the streets. There's a reason why they get so addicted to drugs.
Well, and also, you know, girls who do not come from homes where there's communication
That's
and
it.
Acceptance and positive input, etc., they can actually be turned very, very easily to, well, if I am sexually active, then they will like me. I will be accepted. Someone loves me. And all they have to do is, you know, some 16-year-old tells some 14-year-old, well, honey, I love you, and this is the way to show love. And because they're not receiving that unconditional love, they will fall. And the only way, and you mentioned it earlier, the only way that they will know that is that God loves them unconditionally. There's not a thing that they can do, a word that they can say, that God will withdraw their love from them. Well, I'm so excited that we were talking. You know, it's amazing that we aren't doing, you know, sessions in churches, and we're not doing clinics in churches, and we're not doing these kind of things, that we're allowing a fallen world to do. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website. That's secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your life.